Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Marcus.
Yes, I am your host, Les Jackson. How are you? Just want to sit back and say happy birthday to all my friends on Facebook, Twitter, blogtalkradio.com, StumbleUpon, Get Glue, Tumblr, oh man, Pentin, Google Plus, everybody that supports and listens to Open Talk with Les Jackson. Just want to say good afternoon to you. This is going to be the fastest 30 minutes in broadcasting, but get your pens and your papers out because it's going to be the most informative. I guarantee it. I guarantee it to you. I want to touch today, since it is Open Talk Friday on a Monday, I'm going to touch on just a little bit. I'm going to hit on Ferguson and the state of police misconduct to gain revenues at the hands of its citizens. Also, I want to touch on the other subject, are blacks and minorities being used as a money machine by our cities all across America? And least but not last of all, I want to talk about, is profiling becoming all too commonplace? I think I'm going to start in the middle. Because it's becoming obvious and more obvious when you look at the stagnated reports, it is becoming more and more obvious that they feel that minorities, and I'm referring primarily to the black male and some female, but primarily the black male, has become a money machine. Now, you may say to yourself that how could this be less, that they could be considered a money machine when many of them don't have jobs when they get locked up. But let me just tell you and give you some information that's going to be good for your archives and for your educational balancing so that you understand what's really at stake here. It's about $70 billion that is spent on corrections yearly. Now, I'm going to beg to differ with this thought right here. There's $70 billion that is pumped in to our governments, which is recycled and laundered through what they call the correctional facility. That's right, I said it. Prisons and jails consume a growing proportion of nearly $200 billion we spend annually on public service. Look, almost $200 billion, think about what they're saying, that we spend on public service. Prisons and jails consume a growing proportion. They're taking up a lot of the money. Furthermore, if you don't believe it, and this comes right out of the NAACP.org page, it's the criminal justice fact sheet, and you can sign up today if you want to fight for any unfairness or anything that you see that is unfair to you in the criminal justice system, and we see a lot of it going on today. You can sign up there, or you can just sit back and start. We need to start protesting more, and not protesting by marching. I'm talking about protesting by getting out there and sending out those letters. We need to start having petitions. We need to start holding our government on the federal, state, and local level more accountable. Watch this. Let me just show you something about the incarceration trends in America, just for those that don't know. From 1980 to 2008, the number of people incarcerated in America quadrupled from roughly 500,000 to 2.5 million people. Today, America is 5% of the world population and has 25% of world prisoners. Now, you take that ratio and you divide it up. You do the math on it, because I know you're smart enough to do the math. So you do the math. Combining the people in prison and jails with whom under parole or probation supervision, one out of every 31 adults, or 3.2% of the population, is under some form of constitutional control. Listen there. Listen. One out of every 31 people. So for every 31 people I walk by, I bet you I can find one that's on parole or on probation or in some shape, form, or fashion in the system. I remember being down in Georgia, and I was talking because, oh, yes, I was put on the books. I have no shame about telling anybody, yes, I have been there. I've done my time. And I remember talking with one of the guards, and I said, what's up with all of this? Being from the North, you know, they were interested in me, and I was interested in them. So I asked them, what's the deal on all this? I'm seeing an awful lot of brothers up in here, and I'm seeing a lot of white folks, too, because I didn't realize they was getting so many poor white folks, but they locking them up, too. And I sat back and said, what's the deal on this? Why it seems like everybody up in here is kind of like you don't see too many rich ones running up through here. And he sat back and told me, he said, look, let me tell you something, Jack. He said, don't you know the goal of the government is to put every black male and every poor male that we can on the record book? Don't you realize that the whole plan is to get a number on you so that they can go ahead and identify and keep up with your whereabouts at all in any given time? So if you decide to jump, we can be ahead of the game? I say, you know, that makes a doggone lot of sense. You can call in at 718-664-9476. Let me give you some more statistics. This is the ratio portion of this thing to really show you something, to really show you how this thing is breaking down. African Americans are incarcerated nearly six times the rate of whites. African Americans now constitute nearly 1 million of the 2.3 million incarcerated population. Together, African Americans and Hispanics comprise 58% of all prisoners. That was as of 2008, and I can imagine it's gone up even further now. Nationwide, African Americans represent 26% of the juvenile arrests, 44% of the youth who are detained, and 46% of the youth which are under judicial waiver to a criminal court. And 58% of the youth admit are admitted to state prisons, such as centers on juvenile and criminal justice. I want to also thank and say hi to Big Ten there. I see you over there, Ten. And to Dr. Sarah, we see you out there. We want to give you a shout. We're going to get you right in here. We're going to get you right in here. Let's just pop in right now. Dr. Sarah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Les?
Good, good, good. Dr. Sarah, you just heard some of the statistics I read out. What do you think about it?
I think it's unnerving. It is, you know, I have grandchildren incarcerated. And like most people, until it hit home, you really don't pay attention. As old folks
That's
say,
right.
You don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just think it's the mother folks. And then one day you become the numbers.
Yep.
And when, let me just say, you know, I am the parent of both the victim and the perpetrator. And so I sit in a very hard seat, and I see the pain of, you know, both sides. And one of the things that I finally realized, as most people think, is, you know, these children, the people, when I call them children, because all of us, I don't care if you're a million years old, you're somebody's child,
mm-hmm.
come from broken homes, ignorance, poverty, so forth and et cetera. But the generation that are incarcerated today are coming from all sectors of society and most middle-class homes. And,
right.
you know, and I think that God, Yahweh, want all of us to
mm-hmm.
know this pain so we can get involved. You know,
there you go.
Because
there you go. Let me put some more stuff out here, Dr. Sarah, real quick, because, like I say, this is the fastest 30 minutes you'll ever see on radio. Here's some more stuff for you to just marinate on. I want folks to think about this. At the current trend, if the current trend continues, here's what you can count on. 1 in 3 black males born today can be expected to spend time in prison during his lifetime. 1 out of every 100 African-American women are in prison, okay? Now, despite all of this, let's talk about drugs. Let me hit the drugs and how this all equates in the thing. Drug sentencing. About 14 million whites and 2.6 million African-Americans reportedly use illicit drugs. 5 times as many whites are using drugs as African-Americans, yet the African-American spends or is sent to prison for drug offenses at 10 times the rate of whites. Now I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. And we're not going to sugarcoat it for everybody, because you know why. It's not so much that they sit back in the system is so much for them. It's because they parents sit back and can pay that lawyer that can sit back and then work his magic. And because of the way the juries are set up, how many times do you see a jury of your peers actually prosecute you? See, every time I've ever sat in a courtroom and looked around, what they called my peers were a lot of pale-faced brothers that the only thing they had in common with me is they may have come from a similar upbringing. But the majority of them were white, male or female, and they already had subconsciously made up a decision, as they do right now. They've already put you in the guilty seat before you even sit down and state your name. So let's tell it just like it is. That's exactly what's going on. It's not so much. It's 2 and 3 different books. I used to fall for that one. Yep, I believe that there is a book for the rich and there's a big book for the poor. I do believe that. But when I look at what's going on, I'm looking at how they got this thing flip-flopped around in the first place. And it starts right there at the jury box. Then it depends on your judge. And then it depends on if I really did it or not. And why did I do it? Because a lot of times we put ourselves in some bad predicaments, knowing that there's going to be some consequences, but we think we can get by. And so I'm telling you, it's time for us to stop this ignorance of our thinking that we don't pay the consequence, because we pay at a heavier price because it's all in the plan. The plan is to make you pay more. The plan is to enslave you and to keep you in slavery, even though they don't have the shackles and the chains upon you, literally, invisibly, you still got ball and chain on your ankle. Come on back in here, Dr. Sarah, and talk to me.
Okay. You know, and I'm feeling that, but you know, a large part of this of knowledge and choices. The TV series Empire, I don't watch it. In fact, I got rid of my TV in 2009 because, you know, at one point I found myself very depressed and I couldn't figure it out. That's when I started my blog talk radio show, got off, you know, things got better. But, you know, the programming, you know the game, the Pac-Man game, not the Pac-Man, but Grand Theft Auto.
Right,
promotes a lot of violence. People didn't believe it.
Yes.
The programming, what people are watching, people are letting the television control their children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being controlled by their behavior. You know, in the African-American community, we didn't cuss out Big Mama and fight out Mama, did we? But today,
That's right.
The kids are going off, and they're doing any and everything. And on top of that, the parents are joining in.
Yeah.
So there's no example. And so what I tell these young people, if you're going to live a life of crime, you better have you a good attorney.
That's right.
You better
have
your bail money, you know, because
if
they would give a child 10 years ago, they might get 2 or 3 years. Well, that's 20 years today because the value, $200 a head, that's placed on your head. So prison is traded in the New York Stock Exchange.
That's right.
That's a cash cow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do not stand up for anything.
Right.
See,
right.
We're sitting down and allowing to pass laws, and when they came up with the three strikes, I believe that was President Clinton.
When they came up with that, we
stood up. We thought that was a good thing. Like I said, it was the lower class people going to jail. Now they got the middle class children in jail, doctors and lawyers and professional people, ministers.
Right, right.
Now our children are in the arena, but we sat by and allowed all these, you know, laws and legislations to be put in place, and guess what? We got caught up in the game.
I like the way you said that. Let me ask you something, Dr. Sarah, because I'm going to shift gears and I'm going to Ferguson for a minute. I'm going to go to Ferguson, but I'm still in the same arena. We still going to dance in this revenue thing because we talked about the revenues that they make. And let me tell you something. It is big money. Do you realize just to sit up in the prison every day, that prison, that state is paid by the federal government anywhere from $300 to $500 per day for you to sit there? Do you realize even when you go down to Wayne County or your county jail, do you know that they get something like $250, sometimes $300 for you to sit there? So they don't care about the ticket. They don't want you to sit there as long as you can because that's more revenue. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, and this is what Ferguson was doing. I hope you got a chance to read the report. I hope everybody has read what the Justice Department found out about Ferguson. But let me ask you this, Dr. Sarah. Do you think that the police are just going too far and the government, local government, is putting too much pressure on the police to go out here and make these quotas to make revenue so that they will have profit for their city budgets?
They have gone as far as we have allowed them to go. They're going to go further because, again, we sit back in a lackadaisical stance. We don't read. We don't pay attention. And while we're watching empire, our so-called empires are dwindling.
I like that. You know, because what I couldn't understand, and let me explain something to everybody about Ferguson that I found out by just doing a little research on Ferguson. Ferguson back in 1980 was 99% white. In the end of the 80s, going into the 90s, whites moved out, and it became 67-4. And they left 29.3% whites there because they probably couldn't afford to go nowhere. So they was poor too. Okay? I'm just going to put it like that. They was poor too. So now we have this unbalance. What I can't understand about all of this stuff is how come it is, and it's got to be what you said, Dr. Sarah, either people are just stone ignorant and don't care, or they watching too much Empire or something. Something got our brains locked off because it's no way I would have been letting them milk me. I don't care how scared I was. I wouldn't have been that scared where these folks are just, look, it's only 84 police officers out of a town of 21,000, and there's only four of them on the police force that's black. They should have knew, and I knew they knew that something was wrong, but here's a little excuse. See, I'm telling you, we got to stop using these excuses. We were scared. We were scared.
And, you know, and just because they're black, that don't mean they're from the right pack. Okay.
Right.
Because reverse discrimination is on the rise. And if you want to, you catch some hell, you put a black person in charge.
That's right. That's right. And you ain't never lied. You ain't never lied. Because like I'm telling, I keep telling folks, you look what happened to the city of Detroit. And I'm just going to be honest with you. It was all right when we had Gibbs and them. They had some crazy police tactics. But we found a way to get them out of there because we kept pressuring them. See, Detroit was going through that same kind of mess.
Okay.
But it was enough of us that knew how to stand up because we really had some sense back then where we would stand up and we'd make a little noise. But now I'm sitting back now, and I looked at it. Kwame Kilpatrick, I hate to say it, but Coleman. Because Coleman was the start of this snowball effect. Even though people say he was such a great man, he did some great stuff. I'm not going to give him that. But when he sat back and told all the business to get the hell across 8 Mile, and I'll never forget it because it made national news, local news, and everything else, the next day I started seeing businesses pull out. I said, oh, here go the neighborhood. Because it was the only revenue that the neighborhood had. The blacks had started selling to the Arabs and Chaldeans. And the only thing that was really making money was those whites that still was holding on to some business. Then the Chaldeans and the Arabs came in here, and they figured they could milk us too. And they said, oh, yeah, we can milk them. Yeah, we can milk them because they spend money. And that's one thing else. Don't you know as long as we got all this economical power, we should be sitting back and doing more with it and have a little bit more say-so than what we're playing ourselves for. Come on, Dr. Sarah, and before you come in here, let me just tell everybody, you need to get in here real quick at 718-664-9476. I may go about 15, 20 minutes over, so if you want to continue to hear it, because we've got about 6 minutes left, and me and Dr. Sarah are going to roll out on this one now. So, Dr. Sarah, come on back in here and talk to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I put this on my Facebook page today, challenging everyone to do their research on the industrial prison complex. And then I come here and this is your topic. Being on the inside of this, they're taking money. See, when your people go to jail, you go to jail with them.
That's
because
right.
The way that you are treated when you go to visit. then you got to spend money. And you have to have a $5 bill. You have they have a certain dress code that you have to wear. So people that don't know and they come a long way, I really feel sorry for them because they might have to leave and go through all this and that and the other. You got to pay $5. You need a $5 bill to put in to get a card. It costs $3 to put money on the card.
Mm-hmm.
To back yourself, that's 2 and 3 times the amount on the outside.
Right.
That. Then now they started some young Hispanic guy last year. He started, it's called J-Pay. Well, with J-Pay, you used to can mail the money free. Now, if you send $100, you got to pay $6.95 to send your loved one $100 through this system.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the prisons are now, you know, latching on to it. You know, so everybody is suffering, but again, because we don't pay attention. And I challenge everybody to start doing your research. And when you do your research, you want to know when did this start. You want to know who started it. You want to know what Congress members were a part. You want to know
mm-hmm.
what corporations are a part. You want to know where is it at on the stock exchange. You want to know when it was put on the stock exchange and what the price is today. So you can see how it jumped up. And it's up there. So I'm not going to tell anybody because I want you to do your research. Then you need to track the legislation and when it came in your state. Who were the, how did it get there? Did the governor sanction it? And who were all the people who were a part of it? Then you need to
there
know.
You go. Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. Hold that thought right there, Dr. Sarah. You need to call in right now at 718-664-9476. We are going to go into a little overtime. But like I said, I'm down to, I do 30 minutes here, and then I got to go and do my other show. So I'm sitting back, and I'm on the run. I'm trying to keep it to 30 minutes on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm only going to do it for this week. And then after next week, I've got to sit back, and I'm going to lock and load on the other station. But for this week, I will be on for just 30 minutes, and then I'm going to cut ties, except for to come visit my friends like Dr. Sarah. Dr. Sarah, before we go, tell us about, now your show comes on Wednesday?
Yes, at 10 p.m. Central, and the number is 646-727-2193. It's the call-in to listen and talk number.
Okay, and say that number again.
It's 646-727-2193.
727-727-2193. Okay. All right, all right. We got you, we got you. You need to call in right now at 718-664-9476. We're going to go into overtime. So I have a couple of guests. I want to acknowledge you and thank you so much for coming by. If you want to get in and hear a little bit of overtime, you need to get in here at 718-664-9476. Now, back to what we were saying about how the prison is making all this extra money. Because I'm telling you, you might not believe it, but government actually sees us as money. What kind of cow is that?
Cash cow.
That's exactly what they see us as, and that's what they see you as. Now, not only are they making you work with the blood, sweat, and tears, but then they taking the money right back from you in such a way to where it's all real confiscated, real easy and pleasantly. They get you through TV, through advertising, send you to the mall. Now they done took in the mall here, one of the oldest malls in the United States, done took it and foreclosed on it. Now they got to get out by the end of the month. So now we got to go to the suburb and sit back and spend our money out in the suburbs. So, see, they know how to take your money and pull you back. Every time you think you're going ahead, they're going to pull you back. Welcome back to Jamaica. Come on back to Africa. We got you, brother. We got you right where we want you. N2K, good evening. How are you, brother? N2K, you're just listening. When you get ready to talk, you can say anything you want. Just hit that one. You know how to do it. We'll only be on for a little while longer. That's for doggone show. Come on, Dr. Sarah, talk to me.
So, you know, when you look at all the ways that they're taking money, and just like you said, See, we have to get up off the couch. We have to stop being comfortable. We have to get up off of Facebook, talking about other people's business and this and that and the other, and get into the business of our own self-survival. Because injustice to one is an injustice to all. And like I said, we sat back, created, and allowed laws to be because we thought we were at a certain socioeconomic, you know, status, and it didn't touch us. So now they have the middle class in prison, their children.
Mm-hmm.
And the adults, because people are trying to make it. So the jobs are set up. People sit in jobs, and they sit high. They like to sit high and look low. So a lot of criminal activities, well, they already know. They put the game in place. So then they come back looking, and then pop, pop, pop. The bail bondsman, this guy told me in Memphis, he said if they opened up 10 more bail bond companies, it would not infringe on anybody. That's how plenteous it is, the money.
Mm-hmm.
Then the judges are making money. A case 20 years ago that was $5,000 is now $25,000 or $30,000 or $40,000. So the lawyers, we are making everybody rich, glorifying all this insanity. And so we have to look at, we are our own worst enemy. You can't blame anybody but ourselves. Because we have the same tools. A lot of our people have gone to college. They have all kind of degrees. But, again, people like to sit high and look low, and they don't think it touches them. Now
there you go. And you know what? Let me tell you something. You know what? You hit on something about those judges. And a lot of people don't realize this. I know it goes on in Detroit, and if it goes on here, it goes on in other places too. The judges have what they have, a retirement fund. Well, here
yes.
in Detroit, and we talked about this over the weekend. It was brought to my attention. I'm looking into it to see if it's still going on and how much the fund is now. But there was a thing for everybody that was locked up. $45 out of your court cost and out of all the fees and stuff that happened, $45 of that goes into that fund for the judges that have retired. And
okay.
The suburban judges started to complain because their slush fund in their jurisdiction wasn't giving them $45. And since we have more black judges down here in the inner city, they got mad. And so they took it to federal court and sued the black judges. Sued them. So that they could try to get more money, but they ended up losing the case. But now I challenge people, just like you said, I challenge folk, and we have to start doing the full research. Don't just go on one piece of paper that you read. Track it down. Follow the trail and see where all it leads to. Because I tell people, Ferguson didn't just start. It wasn't just
right.
because that boy was shot and killed. This was a thing that was waiting to brew for a long, long time. It was like
a
volcano with the molten lava. It was just down there boiling and boiling and boiling, and then it took something like this, as tragic as it was, it took that in order for the spotlight, because it was obvious. See, God said he don't take care of nothing but babies and fools.
Yeah.
It was obvious that them folks was being foolish or either acting like little babies, because God had to let something tragic happen in order for the rest of the world to come in and pick up that baby and stand that baby up on the feet and say, now go ahead and start. You better start walking now.
Yeah.
Now, come on in here, Dr. Sarah.
That's $45. I mean, was this a secret thing that started? I mean, the citizens, nobody knew nothing about it, and then it got exposed or something? Did somebody vote on this, or somebody just say let it be and it was?
You know what? I'm telling you, I'm in touch. I'm trying to get with the gentleman that does Cop Watch from down in Ferguson. And he has been on them for years. A young black man that was incarcerated turned his life around, and now he has dedicated his life to doing research and information on the abuses of the police forces and different abuses that go on throughout the United States. But he's working with his camera now. Now, he was incarcerated, and this is why I tell people, I don't care if you were incarcerated. I know a lot of brothers that were incarcerated, and now they're doing so well to where you just wouldn't believe that they ever spent as much time in somebody's prison. So it's not.
They got an excellent education. They got a.
Yes.
If they use their time well, they came out equipped.
Yep.
And sometimes it takes that.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to be locked down. You have to be thrown out of the scene, as one of my counselors used to tell me. Sometimes you got to be taken off the scene so you can sit back
That's
and really find yourself. Because you
right.
get lost
That's
out
right.
here, and see, black folks, we tend to be more lost. There's a lot of white folks that's lost. Like that little clown that had the meth lab inside of the bathroom, I think, at Walmart. Now, he was evidently, he was lost. He was out there. But, you know, I mean, and it's not like I say, I don't down black folks, but I'm black. I can't speak on the white folks. Because they got their problems, too. But I know what our problem is. And our problem seems to be a repetitive problem that we could put an end to, I believe, but we just don't want to. See, we like this kind of attention because we love attention anyway.
Right.
See, like
we
you
love
say, we love a lot of drama.
Role.
Come on back
the
in here, Dr.
Role.
Sarah.
The blame game. The blame game.
Yeah.
You know, the blame game. I was looking at Japan, you know, World War II.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Japan, pert near on America. And they were enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So how did these people rise above their circumstances to become the boss when they were at the bottom? See, we got to get out of that blame game. And I call the leadership, the so-called leadership of our community, responsible because they sold out with these government grants. See, you're supposed to be trusting God, not
That's
man.
Right.
Cursed is the
That's
man
right.
who makes flesh his arm. Because
mm-hmm.
then you have to bend a little, twist a little, and this is what's going on. But we're going to have to read, brother.
Yep.
We don't want to read.
No,
and we're
going
to have
no.
to pay attention. We're going to have to watch C-SPAN. We're talking about all these things that they're doing. It's right out there in your face. On
That's
my,
right.
My show since 2009, and I think it had small people viewing it. I did this show about the mother's test. For where they can take your children, if they
and keep
you know,
on talking, keep on talking, Dr. Sarah.
Yes, and so do you think they pay attention to that? So when they start coming, taking you know drug tests, and they have a time when they're getting ready to do it, they're getting ready to come and get these people playing these IRS games. It's all set up by device because that's a cash crop. Because you're going to jail, that's a felony. With the dear sister, with her daughter, Angie Stone. This woman is charged with a felony, had to spend $10,000 to get out. More money coming back in the system. These senseless crimes. We must pay attention. They say leaders are readers. And the reason we don't have enough leaders, that we're not readers. And I commend all the men who have come through the system and are coming back out into the system to educate, inspire, and motivate the citizenry. It's phenomenal. But
I like that. I like that. And you're right. You know what? I was telling a guy 2 weeks ago, and he thought I was joking. He was like, you act like you hide your money in books. Why you hide your money in books? I said, because I know y'all Negroes don't read. So you ain't going to pick up a book and look for no money?
That's right.
And he sat back and he thought about it, and he said, you know what? That's clever. He said, that's real clever. I said, yeah. I said, I stash what I'm going to stash in a book because I know y'all that's the last place you're going to look at. You ain't looking in no book. A book is like a cross to a vampire, you know, when it comes to us. It's like a cross to a vat. We will sit back and start to melting and burning, and we are. And it's always. I love this excuse here. You know, every time I start to read, I get sleepy. That's because you haven't done it in so long, to where your mind is not stimulated or trained to sit back and stay awake. You know.
Exactly.
I mean, I've been. I haven't read books until I fell asleep. but I was way into the book, you know. But I mean, after I trained myself, I could read longer and longer and longer and longer. And so, you know, and then now we got audio books, so you don't have to read.
Yeah.
You can sit back and just put your headphones on, put it in that MP3 player, and just let it talk to you. It'll read itself to you, and we don't even want to do that.
Right, because it's going to put you to sleep again. You know, it's the understanding of words and their meaning. And I bring this up, you know, my show is called the Save a Hope Live Show, and I started the Save a Hope Foundation. Now, what people, they get all upset about, you know, Save a Hope Foundation, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, what we're talking about right now, the prison population, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, see, this is hitting too much home. But one of the things that kept running to white and black, the word white and black, both of these words are adjectives. And to some people
right.
it might not make any difference, but to be a race or a person, nationality, you have to be a noun. And so if you take the word black and you take the B off of it, and the B is representing existence, lack. Again, in this black era, we're lacking. Because when we were Negro and colored, we were more prominent and more successful. Once we learn how to get a dictionary, a synonym finder, how to break words down in their meaning, then I think it'll start speaking to our spirit, and then we'll begin to understand. Because once you start on this journey and you start looking at this and that and the other, it'll take you, you'll be up all day and night. Because you'll just be amazed at the things that you uncovered. And we have not, because we don't know.
Those who know
don't want us to know because they have sold out.
There you go.
And they can't tell you. That's why you see these all these people making all this money. They can't give to their community and raise up their community. But the whole world know who we are as a people, but we don't. And we're the greatest people on the planet.
There you go.
But we're being destroyed because we have a lack of knowledge.
I like that. Let me get N2K. N2K, you want to say anything before we get out of here?
Oh, no, Les. I saw that you was on, so I just wanted to stop by.
All right. Well, I definitely appreciate it. That's for sure. That's my good friend, N2K. Always got something good to say. Always have. That's one of the few brothers that can debate with me. And we go at it sometime. But I love him, and he know I love him. I hope he do.
This is what we need.
We need to sit back. And there's something that's wrong with black folks. I was in the store over the weekend, and I had two cans. And this brother had a whole big, giant bag of cans. And so I sat back and I said, well, hold on. You know, like, I got somebody out there in the car. I got a cab going. And I said, do you mind if I put my two cans in so I can get out your hair? Oh, man, MF you. And what you mean? You might as well just stand there until I get. I said, come on, brother. What did he do? I'm not your brother, man. You want me to sit back? And then now what he didn't know is everybody in this neighborhood know me. So all of a sudden, all eyes turned on him. And they were just waiting for me to say, let's get him. But I said, no, don't worry about it, brother. I said, don't worry about a thing. Well, I keep telling you I'm not your brother. Man, look, just go on, keep putting your bottles in there, because now I'm getting ready to act a Negro on you.
Man.
I said, you really don't want to see this. I said, I'm trying to keep my cool. But see, we're so busy worried about ignorant stuff. Go ahead, N2K.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a second to comment on what the Dr. Sarah was saying.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the things that's very indicative of us melanated people, especially here in the United States, you know, we suffer from a psychotic break. And put simply, that's when you're cut off from your lineage. And you're cut off from your past. And what that does, it creates a self-induced sort of degeneration in a group of people. So a lot of the things that we struggle with today are really elementary. However, since we don't have a real ethnic connection like other groups do,